WBZ H910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Thousands of dock workers up and down the East Coast and the Gulf of Mexico are off the job. The International Longshoremen's Association on strike over pay and the increased use of automation by shipping companies. Jacqueline has worked in Elizabeth, New Jersey for a decade at the port and says she knows a prolonged walkout could affect the entire country.
We want to give America what they need. All these products that come in here suffer. It's for us. It's for you. It's for America. It's for everyone. We don't want us to go on, but we want to secure our future.
A million and a half homes and businesses in the southeast still have no power following Hurricane Helene. Asheville, North Carolina is devastated. Paul Xavier Ryan owns a car wash there.
Every piece of equipment I have is pretty much upside down or sideways. I've been told I'm not going to have power for at least 2 weeks or so.
At least 130 people were killed in the storm. Hundreds more are still unaccounted for. The Israeli military warning people to evacuate nearly two dozen towns along the Lebanese border. This is ABC News. More than 20 are feared dead after a bus carrying students and teachers on a school trip caught fire in suburban Bangkok today. The founder of WikiLeaks is speaking publicly for the first time since being released from prison for publishing American military secrets. Here's ABC's Tom Rivers with more on Julian Assange.
In the words of Assange, all he did was inform the public and...
I hope my testimony today can serve to highlight the weaknesses of the existing safeguards and to help those whose cases are less visible but who are equally vulnerable.
And over the lengthy time he was incarcerated in the UK, truth, he says, has been...
undermined, attacked, weakened, and diminished.
The U.S. prosecution of him has, he says, had a chilling effect on freedom of expression internationally. Tom Rivers, ABC News at the Foreign Desk.
After the doubleheader between the Mets and the Braves to end the regular season yesterday, where both teams won their way in, the playoffs begin today. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
When Senator Tammy Baldwin first went to Washington, the big news story was Y2K. And we were partying like it was 1999. Baldwin has been in D.C. for more than 25 years. And after a quarter century, her values are a lot more Washington than Wisconsin. Baldwin supported providing puberty blockers and sex change surgeries to minor children in Wisconsin. And Baldwin supports forcing women's domestic violence shelters in Wisconsin to admit biological men who claim to identify as women, even though domestic violence survivors say it would be traumatic to be forced to sleep in the same shelters as men. Tammy Baldwin. 25 years in Washington has changed her, and now she's just too extreme for Wisconsin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Red Cross volunteers from Wisconsin are helping people in the aftermath of Hurricane Helene. Terry Bell reports.
In all, 1,400 workers from around the country are part of the relief effort. 25 volunteers are from Wisconsin. Their assignments could change at any time. In fact, Red Cross volunteers have to be on standby in case they're needed more somewhere else in the country. I'm Terry Bell.
A high school football game in Milwaukee was cut short Friday when a gun in the stadium went off by accident. Police say an off-duty security guard accidentally fired his weapon during a game at Wisconsin Lutheran High School. The stands were emptied and everyone was sent home. The officer injured himself and was treated. The school is now going over its safety protocols. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz and this is Civic Media News.
It's time for the MLB postseason. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Brewers will play the Mets today to open up the best of three wildcard round. Milwaukee enters as the NL Central champion and third seed in the NL. Manager Pat Murphy said the Brewers are young but ready for the postseason. First pitch is after 4:30 p.m. The Green Bay Packers will try to bounce back this week as they play the LA Rams on Sunday. Coach Matt LaFleur said Sunday that the Packers had a lot to clean up after the 31-29 loss to the Minnesota Vikings in week four.
You got to be focused in terms of very intentional about what you're trying to get accomplished. When you look at it, we've had two tight games that we've lost. And we got to make sure that we don't put ourselves in those positions where they do cost you.
Kickoff this week against the Rams is after 3 p.m. on Sunday. And Wisconsin football will play in back-to-back 11 a.m. games the next 2 weeks. They host Purdue this Saturday and play at Rutgers next week. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
It is going to be quite a bit cooler today, mostly sunny with a high in the low to mid-60s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low in the upper 30s to low 40s. Tomorrow, breezy, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 60s to low 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature, 44.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Late Show with Stephen Colbert writer and comedian Paul Mercurio joins the show. And in the second hour, Northeast Wisconsin-based comedian Rob Breckenridge joins me in studio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
All right, good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network. 7:06, and nice to have you here on this Tuesday morning. It is the first day of October, and meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here to tell us that, as if on cue, the month came to an end, and October came in with a front that brought some brisk winds and brisk temperatures as well. Brittany, good morning.
Good morning. It's here, everyone. I'm so excited for the crisp feel. I mean, we've got the sunshine, so it's still going to be bright and beautiful today. Just a little adjustment in with what you're wearing. So you're going to want those long sleeves probably for the morning, definitely. By the afternoon, depends on where you live. Far south, you will hit some mid-60s for highs today. Further up north, upper 50s. But I will say with the winds still feisty, gusting up to about 30 miles per hour. That's from about Oshkosh through Door County all the way down to Kenosha. You're feeling about 5 to 6 degrees cooler than your actual temperature, so keep that in mind. There's also a small craft advisory out on the lake, so stay away from those high waves. And no bonfires. I know we've got to work and do things today anyways, but there is a high fire danger. So up north, farmers too, just be careful up there because these winds and dry conditions, our dew points are falling into the 20s today. This is dry, dry air.
Yeah, no burning the brush pile today. That would be a big-time no-no. Rob says, good morning from Tigerton. Clear and 50 today. Seems the front went by about 3 a.m. with the winds picking up. Has mowing jobs today in Tigerton. He said he remembers Star Wars music being used for the NFL games in 1977. Loves Peaches and Herb's Reunited song, as well as Bonnie Tyler's music, including not just Total Eclipse of the Heart, but It's a Heartache. Let's see. Alicia also notes that it's the first day of Domestic Violence Awareness Month. I have all kinds of days and months for us to share here, Brittany. But for now, what you just said about, you know, fire danger and being aware of it is probably not the wind, not the temperature, not the calendar. That's the most important thing we can share with folks, is to be especially careful out there.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Brittany, thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Thanks.
So there, like I said, there was a lot on the calendar today. Let's see if I can even get to it all. Greg Bach, who's down there in Waukesha. This is Adopt a Shelter Dog Month, AIDS Awareness Month, Blindness Awareness Month, Bullying Prevention, Bat Appreciation Month. I'm assuming that's not a baseball playoff type thing, but the, you know, the animal. Down Syndrome Awareness, Liver Awareness, Dental Hygiene Month. I always wonder about that one, like a dental hygiene month. Like, people who never normally brush their teeth are going to do it in October because the calendar says so?
When you're aware of it, you just try it a little harder.
Okay.
Just try a little harder.
Try it a little harder. Health Literacy Month, Menopause Month. Let's see, it's National Chili Month. I could get into that. National Pizza Month. National Dessert Month. And, I don't know. Is this music related? This is National Pitbull Month. That's good to know. There we go. It's probably the dog, isn't it?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, well. You know what? We can make it what we want. I like how it's International Music Day, but it's also National CD Player Day.
Oh.
It's like, no, almost nobody's playing CD players. It's National Hair Day, National Lace. There's so much on the first of the month. Folks, if you want a holiday, go find some of the other territory. There's more space for you there.
February 23rd, just take it. It's yours.
Yeah, February 23rd. Now, of course, I have to go look this up. Just our luck, there's like 18 things already on there. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area is standing by, but also the Brewers begin the playoffs this afternoon against the New York Mets. The pregame is at 3:55, first pitch 4:30 against the Mets, with games on Civic Media stations WRCE in Richland Center, WRJN in Racine, Kenosha, WCQM in Park Falls, and WISS in Oshkosh. Best 2 out of 3 games starting today at American Family Field. So naturally, with Dan Schaefer appearing from the recombobulation area, we had to research the etymology of that special word, only to end up going down a rabbit hole of early 1800s mock Latin as a source of humor, to find out that originally the word they were using for giggles was discombobricated, which this became discombobulate. Look, folks, I'm doing anything here to give you a quick diversion from politics. Dan needs that as much as the rest of us. Dan Schaefer, how are you?
I'm doing well, Mr. Kreitlow. How are you?
I'm fine. I am slightly discombobricated. But now that I know that in the early 1800s, they mocked Latin as a source of humor, I feel better about the life that we live in these days, by and large.
I really appreciate that research that you're doing. I'm even learning things about my own name.
Look, I've always loved the name when I first saw it at the Milwaukee airport. Lord only knows how many people have now tagged you in photos from the Milwaukee airport, but I figured we had to do something a little bit different there. So that's what I thought we would do. Dan has worked so extensively on 115 different legislative races that we're gonna cover a little bit of that along with some other topics today. But before I forget, Dan, for folks that do want to look at your legislative previews, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, you can find that at civicmedia.us, where you can find the 2024 Wisconsin State Legislature Voter Guide. It's right there on the homepage. You can go to civicmedia.us/voter-guide. It was quite the task to pull together our preview of all 115 races on the ballot in the Wisconsin State Legislature. Yes, I am the one guy crazy enough to preview all 115 races on the ballot in the Wisconsin State Legislature. And it's something I've done at the recombobulation area the last two fall election cycles in 2020 and 2022. This one for 2024 not only is quite a bit different because we're working with the content team at Civic Media, and we've got all sorts of new interactive features and graphics and data and all sorts of different things. But we also have new, fairer maps in the state of Wisconsin this year. And I think this is going to make it really this once in a generation election, once in a generation opportunity to make some real change in the Wisconsin State Legislature. And boy, does it need it.
It does. And so if you're going to be part of it, you may as well get as much information as possible about what district you live in now, because there's a good chance that changed, and who you will be voting for. There are districts. Let me start in the Green Bay area, because I know Kristen Lyerly has talked about this a bunch, how a whole bunch of districts under the old gerrymandered map were kind of using Green Bay as a hub and then spoked out. But you had all these state senators basically living within a stone's throw of each other. But did I see right that now there's actually a Senate district in that area that doesn't have one of those incumbents in there?
Yeah, so it's a pretty strange one happening in the Green Bay area. So District 30, Senate District 30 encompasses much of the Green Bay area and Brown County. The Republican incumbent there currently is Eric Wimberger, who won this race 4 years ago. But he is running for re-election now in District 2. So he moved from the District 30, where he is an incumbent, to District 2 for more of a clear path to stay in the state Senate. Actually pushed out Republican, one of the longest serving members of the Wisconsin State Legislature in the process, Rob Coles, who is the incumbent in District 2. There was actually three Republican incumbents drawn into District 30, but none of them are running there, which is a pretty bizarre thing. But the Republican who's running there instead is Jim Rafter, who is the president, the village president of I always forget whether it's, is it Alloway or Alloway?
Yep.
Alloway's. Yeah. Alloway. And so he is going to be the Republican running there against Democrat, Jamie Wall, who's a business consultant and has been active in the, regional economic development efforts in Brown County and northeastern Wisconsin.
It just seems like, you know, when all of the incumbents scatter, as if you had turned on the lights in a room and some critters scattered, it seems like a confession that, you know, most people, when they run for something, it's because they want to quite literally represent their neighbors. And these are folks saying, I don't need you guys as neighbors. I can go find new neighbors just so I can stay in political office. It's a bit of a tell, and I feel like it should be for the voters in all of those new districts. Do we feel like the new lines actually are making a difference in terms of how some of the candidates are sounding compared to when they all had really safe Republican seats?
Yeah, I part of what has happened, I think, is that, you know, under the previous maps, Republicans had the math on their side in so many of these districts. And you know, whether it was some of the more closely competitive races or some of the long shots, it really reflected in the quality of candidates the Republicans recruited there. They could just put kind of anybody with an R next to their name in some of these districts and they were going to win. But this year, I think they had to spend a little bit more time recruiting more experienced candidates, more moderate candidates. And we're seeing that reflected in some of the races. I'll highlight one of them in the state assembly. You know, as a UW Oshkosh graduate myself, I often look to the Fox Valley as a kind of overlooked swing region in the state of Wisconsin. And there is a district there that, you know, the math suggests would be a Republican pickup. A Democratic pickup in district, the new District 53, which includes the cities of Nina and Menasha. But Republicans were able to get a pretty strong recruit for that district. The former Nina mayor, Dean Coffert, who also served as a Republican in the Wisconsin State Assembly for several terms as well. He was actually one of the few Assembly Republicans to vote against Act 10 when he was in the Assembly in 2011. So I think, you know, just that recruitment, I think, indicates a much more, a healthier environment overall, because I think previously, you know, I was looking at one of the assembly districts in the far northwest corner of the state in Superior, in and around Superior, a very gerrymandered district there. Angie Sapik was the Republican candidate, and she was somebody who was basically live tweeting in support of the January 6th insurrection in early 2021, and then was the Republican candidate in 2022. We're seeing far fewer of those types of candidates being recruited for many of these toss-up and closely competitive seats. So I think in a strange way, this getting away from the gerrymander has forced Republicans to really kind of up the quality of candidates that they'd be running.
Dan Schaefer is our guest from the Recombobulation area, political editor for Civic Media. More with Dan after this. You're up north.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on Air.
When Senator Tammy Baldwin first went to Washington, the big news story was Y2K. And we were partying like it was 1999. Baldwin has been in D.C. for more than 25 years. And after a quarter century, her values are a lot more Washington than Wisconsin. Baldwin supported providing puberty blockers and sex change surgeries to minor children in Wisconsin. And Baldwin supports forcing women's domestic violence shelters in Wisconsin to admit biological men who claim to identify as women, even though domestic violence survivors say it would be traumatic to be forced to sleep in the same shelters as men. Tammy Baldwin, 25 years in Washington has changed her, and now she's just too extreme for Wisconsin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Buzz of the North. 910 AM WBZH and on the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Back with more now with Dan Schaefer, political editor for Civic Media, and, of course, the founder of the Recombobulation Area. At Civic Media, you can find the voter guide and his write-up for all 115 legislative races that are out there. Some are toss-ups, some are close races, some are still very safe seats, but more variety than we've had in well over a decade here. So let's open up the viewfinder a little bit here, because we had Donald Trump in Prairie du Chien. Now he's coming back to Wisconsin. But I noticed a trend, especially in the Prairie du Chien remarks, that it just seemed like, and he talked the next day about, the Wisconsin crowd wasn't as big as it could have been. He's starting to notice people leaving his rallies early. And I'm starting to wonder, Dan, if maybe at some of these appearances, you're going to see more evidence of a Trump crowd that has said, we have seen this. We've seen the show. I've been here, and I want to beat traffic. I got to go. Do we feel like that might actually be happening, or is that just some false hope on the part of progressives?
Yeah, it's hard to say, because and I think you look back at some of these rallies. Yes, there are some indications of people leaving early. These rallies also last a really long time, and Trump really just goes on and on and on so often in these instances. And like, I even saw it when I was in Milwaukee covering the Republican National Convention, his speech. I was on the convention floor for Trump's speech there, and for the first 30 minutes of it, people were super into the speech. Obviously a room full of Republicans, but as you get later on, it just turns into the Donald Trump comedy and grievance hour, is whatever, talking about dishwashers or whatever is on his mind that day. And it just kind of loses its, people tend to lose interest at the later stages of this. So,
I suppose it doesn't really have a comment on which way they're all going to vote, but they certainly were jingling the car keys.
Yeah. And I think it is maybe not to which way people are going to vote, but I think there is, the enthusiasm factor, I think, is an important one, because we're seeing, with the change on the Democratic side with Kamala Harris at the top of the ticket, the enthusiasm has just shot up to levels we haven't seen for Democrats really since the Obama years. And now, the way the polling looked early in the year, Republicans, I think, had like 65% of the voters were very enthusiastic about the race, and Democrats only at 40%. Now Democrats are up over 70%. And the reason that matters is that enthusiasm translates to turnout. And, the diehards who are at the rallies, yes, are going to be probably voting for Trump, voting for Republicans up and down the ticket. But the extent to which people are enthusiastic about the candidate at the top of the ticket can really matter for some of the people who, might be on the fence about not necessarily whether they're going to vote for Trump or Harris, or sometimes it's whether they're going to vote or not.
You and I have been interviewed on a Chicago radio station quite a bit this year, and we talked to other folks at the national level, and I'm sure we have both brought up the congressional races in the 8th up in Green Bay and in the 1st with Republican incumbent Brian Steil. But from a national standpoint, all anybody wanted to talk about was the 3rd and Republican incumbent Derek Van Orden. I do get the sense that they're now paying a bit more attention to the 8th and the 1st, again, underscoring the notion that Wisconsin is in play, not just with the new legislative maps, not just from a presidential standpoint, but a couple of these congressional races are not done deals by any sense of the imagination.
Yeah, we saw Democrat Kristen Lierley debate Republican Tony Weed last week, and I thought she did a pretty terrific job. And that one, and Peter Barca is a candidate with a lot of name recognition in his particular district there in the 1st. So I think, you know, we're going to have closer races in a number of different congressional races than we've seen in a few years as well. And I think, you know, people are paying attention to the 3rd, and rightly so. And I think Rebecca Cook ran a really strong campaign in the primary, and has proven to be a very formidable candidate in this race. And I think you're seeing some of the national prognosticators who had this, you know, more of in the likely Republican category, moving this closer to a toss-up. And, you know, up in your neck of the woods, I think there's, you know, up and down the ballot in the Eau Claire area, the Chippewa Valley. You know, that's an area that's seeing a lot of interest in the state, some of the state legislative races, in addition to that congressional race. So, you know, come November 5th, election night there, I'm certainly going to have the Eau Claire County results up on my dashboard when I'm looking to see what's coming through there.
It's like asking you to you know, pick a favorite child. You've done all of these races. Name one I haven't mentioned that you either really enjoyed working on or you looked at it and said, wow, this one could be decided by just a handful of votes.
Yeah, I'll focus on District 85 then here, since the city of Wausau has been in the news over the last couple of weeks. yes. And that is the main population center in District 85. Where Republican incumbent Patrick Snyder, who actually, like you, we talked about earlier, he actually moved to remain in this district, and he is going to be facing Democratic challenger Yiling Zhang. And this is one of those districts that is, you know, a very swingy one in Wisconsin. You know, Wausau is a purple city, and this is a purple district. This is in the 2022 midterms. Tony Evers won this district by 1%. Ron Johnson won this district by 3% in the 2020 presidential election. Donald Trump won this district by less than 200 votes. So this is a part of the state that hasn't really had a lot of close assembly or Senate races in quite some time, in due in no small part because of those gerrymandered maps. And now having this purple city more reflected as a toss-up district in the maps, I think this is going to be a really close one. You know, the one of the projection sites that I use for the data in my voter guide here is a place called CAnalysis. They got 98 of 99 races correct in 2022, and they have this one right at smack dab at the center of the projections as a toss up. And it's, you know, kind of whichever candidate is able to win this race will really clear a path for the majority in the assembly.
To learn everything about what Dan Schaefer's been writing up about all of these legislative races and much more, follow him at the Recombobulation Area and look for his voter guide at Civic Media. Dan, good to catch up again. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. Be well.
All right, and as far as the latest from up in the Wausau area, city voters there may now use the clerk's absentee ballot drop box after its return on Monday. It had been removed by Conservative Mayor Doug Dinney just about a week ago, and the mayor is still trying to say that he wants the city council to vote on its reinstallation and that he feels like he made his point. Here's the point. It's not your job. State law is very clear. Follow the law. Hans Breitenmoser is coming up next.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
World Dairy Expo officially begins today, and because it's a world-class show, some of these cattle coming from outside the United States. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Tuesday. World Dairy Expo's got about 100 head of Canadian cattle that made the trip into Madison for World Dairy Expo, but aside from the long travel days, they also had to go through extensive testing to make sure that cattle would be allowed not only into the United States, but also into Wisconsin. Brian Karskaden is showing dairy cattle with Blondin Farms out of Quebec, and he said the additional testing and additional time for test results has been challenging, but he said they managed to overcome it.
We tried a lot of different angles. I mean, a lot of different phone calls to see if I can circumvent the system somehow, just to even see if the labs would stay open on a weekend here to do the testing. We couldn't get that to work. I tried to get the CFIA government to extend the validity of the test for an extra day, make it 8 days instead of seven. They wouldn't do that. So there were a lot of different hoops we had to jump through, a lot of roadblocks along the way. Yeah. But at the end of it all, we need to protect ag industry in both Wisconsin and Canada. Mm-hmm. And so whatever we have to do, we're doing, and we're gonna make it work.
Brian Karskaden with the Blondin Farms out of Quebec, Canada, says aside from all that testing, they have to test again before animals will be allowed back into Canada. That's going to require them to not only conclude World Dairy Expo on Friday, but spend additional days waiting on testing data at the Greene County Fairgrounds in Monroe.
Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans have farmers yielding out an additional 2.7 bushels per acre over A-Series. This has everyone talking, not just farmers. Case in point, a trucking company wrote, "Morning, noon, and night, it doesn't matter. I'm hauling Z-Series. The phone doesn't stop ringing. Even my home number, it never stops ringing." Well, it's fair to say Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans are making quite an impact. Unleash your greatest harvest yet at pioneer.com/newera.
Dairy farmers of Wisconsin are building strong farms for a strong future right here in America's Dairyland. Join them and Pam at World Dairy Expo on October 1st and October 3rd at 1:30 p.m. at booth 3403 in the exhibition hall. To learn more about Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, visit wisconsindairy.org.
World Dairy Expo is excited to celebrate the golden age of dairying. This year, experience how technology has helped usher in a new age of dairy. Events start September 28th and end October 4th with the naming of Supreme Champion. Visit worlddairyexpo.com.
Wisconsin farmers continue to use the warm, dry weather to their advantage. The latest updates on our crop progress report shows 67% of our corn silage statewide has already been harvested. 5% of the corn's also been harvested for grain. Soybeans right now, 30% of that crop already taken to the bins. And that's an update on food news for a Tuesday. I'm Pam Yonke.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be quite a bit cooler today, mostly sunny with a high in the low to mid-60s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low in the upper 30s to low 40s. Tomorrow, breezy, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 60s to low 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature 44.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation area and now Civic Media's new political editor.
Jane, I know you like to talk about our assembly speaker.
Popcorn King, yes, Robin Voss.
So there is a potential outcome with these new maps where Greta Neubauer is the assembly speaker and Robin Voss is the minority leader. How does that sound, Jane?
I feel like my birthday came early.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we'll preview the vice presidential debate. J.D. Vance taking on Tim Walz right here. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
We came from Northern Ireland, searching for the free man's ground. And he came to bet his fortune on a West Virginia plow.
7:34 on Up North News Radio. The Milwaukee Brewers postseason opens up this afternoon with a best of three against the New York Mets at American Family Field today and tomorrow, and if necessary, on Thursday. Pregame at 3:55 on Civic Media Stations in Richland Center, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Oshkosh, as the Brewers hope to move on to the National League Division Series. Let's see. Also wanted to address a few other comments here and say good morning to Kay from Sheboygan, saying it was a little brisky this morning, a little brisk this morning by the lake. The surf is up out there. Alicia also let us know with Julie Andrews turning 89 today, the Sound of Music was one of her absolute favorites as a child. We talked about Epcot Center being basically one great big social studies class, which got an amen from Tony writing on YouTube that social studies was the best class. He was also expecting that Dan Schaefer was going to be all set to go with hair and makeup, while also noting Dan wakes up with toddlers every morning. So, no, that was not going to be a live on-camera interview for him. But I also noticed that Hans Brighton Moser is in the waiting room, and there he is now. So after getting a hello from Tony, Hans, we get to say good morning to you and how things are going up there near Merrill.
Good morning. Good morning. Things are going well. It's the summer-like weather, other than the fact that it's pretty chilly out this morning, has definitely allowed us to keep things moving as far as, corn chopping and that type of stuff. We've been helping the neighbors chop some corn, and we're going to get started on ours here pretty quick as well.
Yeah, it has been, it feels nonstop in terms of, the corn and the soybeans and everything else that's getting off, and has had a really good streak of weather for that. Again, there's nobody to thank for that, just to say that, when you get a streak of weather like this, you're thankful and you take advantage of it.
You make hay while the sun shines, as we say.
That's right. That's is that a real expression? Yes, of course it is. Sorry. Anyway. But no, this is good to get as much of the field work done as you can, because, much like we were talking to friends over the weekend, we've been rather busy lately, and we've said, well, you got to do it now, because the winter weekends when your shut-ins will be here soon enough. And so even once the crops are off the field, you guys got more work to do before the snow flies.
Oh yes, there's always something to do, and again, we've got cows. We're not just cash grain guys. And so when you've got livestock, obviously you've got work all year round. So
oh yeah, no, without a doubt, and all of that work again does not and cannot happen in a vacuum. It takes all kinds of levels of support from a local standpoint, from the standpoint of state government, federal government as well. And that's a little bit of what I wanted to get into, because we had a couple of VIPs come through the Chippewa Falls area, and I want to talk about their visit. And then if time allows, we'll also talk about what else we saw in Chippewa Falls with the Wisconsin Farmers Union and the new construction that's going on there. Again, recently there was a visit by some VIPs from the Biden administration. They include Neera Tanden, who is the White House domestic policy advisor, and Andy Burke, who's the administrator of the USDA Rural Utility Service, and Julie Lassa, who we've talked to her a few times, the state director for USDA Rural Development. And all of these things were about the investments made by the Biden-Harris administration over these past 4 years in rural communities, in a whole different set of areas. And we've talked about some of these, Hans, but not all of them. I'm quite sure we've talked about the meat and poultry processing expansion program, but there's also the Wisconsin Local Food Purchase Assistance. There's Empowering Rural America, which I know we've talked about, and the Energizing Rural Communities program that's out there. Every one of these things hits a different facet of the rural economy, and every one of them is, how do we put this, Hans? I mean, where people are doing the homework to set up, here's something we can do for the rural economy, for farms, for processors, whatever, and makes it happen, which is so much better than, what's the expression, throw money at the problem, a series of, block grants where who knows what's going to happen with it. This was like, announcing the, you know, the prize for people that have done their homework to make life better in rural Wisconsin.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And all the projects and the programs that you mentioned are important to rural areas because they get money as close to the ground as possible, because we understand that those dollars do reproduce and circle around these communities and grow and grow and grow and expand. And they're smart programs from the standpoint of, like you said earlier, what do our rural areas need? What is lacking? What have we seen diminish over the last number of decades? Well, we've lost small businesses, and if we're interested in vibrant local economies, we need as many small businesses as possible. So these programs that encourage entrepreneurship are the ones that really create value and create economic activity in rural areas. You know, and it gets us a little bit away from that trajectory, that trend that we've been on, that bigger is better and consolidation is just going to happen and there's nothing we can do about it and all such nonsense. If the federal level has a hard time dealing with some of these bigness issues, at least we are able in this sense to focus on how to get some programs out there and some action out there in the rural areas with incentivizing entrepreneurship and creating activity at the local level.
Yeah. So let's give a listen to one of the folks. The first one I want to go with, Greg, is Andy Burke. Andy Burke is the administrator of the Rural Utilities Service and talked about the grants that have been awarded, not just to something like Dairyland Power Cooperative. President Biden was part of that announcement a couple of weeks back. But there was also one to a group called Solar Share, which is going to help make it for rural electric cooperatives and others to have an easier, more cost-efficient time dealing with things like solar power and battery storage that goes along with it. So here's Andy Burke talking about how when you help the folks that help electric cooperatives, you're actually helping every farmer and every other electric utility customer save some money.
So a couple of things are happening at once. Number one is the cost of clean energy is now way below the cost of fossil fuels and especially coal. So you're seeing the prices change. Second is the biggest part of the affordability issue is that upfront cost. And because of President's leadership and the Inflation Reduction Act, we're taking those upfront costs and lowering them so that it's more affordable. For example, Stag Moose, one of the recipients here today, their award will reduce the cost of their energy by about 24%. All that is being supplied to 15 different co-ops. So when the cost of the energy that the co-ops are paying for goes down 24%, they pass that savings along to ratepayers, and that means a little bit more money in the bank for our households at the end of every month.
And again, you know, with apologies for what was a noisy room that day, but I think the point gets made is that the rural economy is made up of all these different small businesses as well as larger ones. And if you target your assistance in just the right way, I mean, Hans, we hear about trickle down economics all the time. And if you just give rich people a bunch of money, it'll trickle down to the rest of us. It doesn't work that way.
Created a fantastic billionaire class at the risk of right. Channeling inner Bernie Sanders. But what was that clip right there was interesting on two parts, right? Because you know we're getting it, we're making it happen in two different ways. We're keeping that energy production close to home, which is good and gets dollars bouncing back and forth here. But we're also not increasing the cost of that energy. In fact, we're decreasing it so that there's more dollars for businesses to invest here versus exporting all sorts of money for energy. This is what the technology allows us to do, but certainly we have to have public policy that helps us encourage that as well.
Right. And now the reverse of that would be something along the lines of what the Trump campaign is talking about doing, and that's just imposing tariffs, which are going to punish the consumer in the end. And so when I had the chance after the event, I talked to Neera Tanden, the White House domestic policy advisor, talked about what's in Project 2025 and Trump's own stated claims about tariffs. And so here's about 90 seconds of Neera Tanden explaining why the Biden-Harris administration doesn't think that that's necessarily the best approach.
Well, this is one of the concerns about the tariffs, which is not only when you have across-the-board tariffs, do they increase the cost of goods for everyone, but when one side, when we engage in tariffs, then other countries can engage in tariffs for our products. So when you have products where we're net exporters, like agriculture, it is a real challenge because it's not only increases costs for rural America for all goods. You, for example, have a 10% across-the-board tariff. That's higher cost for every family. But it also hurts rural economies because agriculture exports will then face their own tariffs across the globe, which will make it harder to compete in other countries. I think people should really just examine tariff policies because an across-the-board tariff can, you know, I think one estimation is that on average it would be a $3,400 cost for families, for average families, those across-the-board tariffs. And, you know, I think they're in many ways a lose-lose. Families cost more, it costs more for families, but particularly for rural America, it's a lose-lose because costs go up, but also they really make exports much harder for rural communities, for farms and other, and everybody who relies on a strong farming system, every job that relates to that, it's a challenge as well.
I don't know how better to frame what it is that Trump is proposing other than to say it is a lose-lose for rural America.
Oh, absolutely. And I think she said it very well. It's, you know, we need to have solid trade relationships. We need to have good relationships with our trading partners. I mean, it's really not that much different from me doing business with my neighbors. If the deals are mutually beneficial, at some point, you know, somebody's going to walk away. It has to be mutually beneficial. And certainly we should be hard-nosed about these things and make sure that we're not leaving any money on the table. But at the end of the day, when you look at Wisconsin and what we produce here, in terms of agriculture, you know, there's no way we're gonna eat enough cheese every day to consume all that we produce. We need to have good trade. And what she said in terms of inputs is absolutely correct as well. You know, parts and all the things that we need to keep our operations running, as those costs increase, and at the same time, exports decrease, that is not a recipe for prosperity in rural Wisconsin, I can tell you.
No, not at all. Anything you want to say about World Dairy Expo getting underway at the old Dane County Coliseum? I don't know if you've ever been down to one or not. I know I haven't.
Yep. In fact, I'm going to try and get down there myself this week. It's always pretty exciting. You see people from all over the globe. And again, talking about our relationships with other countries, but there's people there from all over the globe, people who have cattle and who are trying to sell their wares and so forth. So it's kind of an exciting, very kind of about as glitzy and glamorous as dairy farming can get.
Wait, do the livestock, do they have a sash or anything when they come out to be?
There are sashes like you won't.
Little tiaras, things like that.
All of that.
We won't have time today, but we've clearly the work is still being done by the Wisconsin Farmers Union at their Market on River building. They're taking this big old factory right on the river in downtown Chippewa Falls. They've purchased it. They're renovating it. It's going to be a beautiful marketplace and restaurant downstairs. There's going to be an event center. There's going to be classes. There's going to be residential living on the third floor. We finally got to take the tour as part of this event. So I'm just simply teasing that, Hans, I know you and I have been itching to talk about this, and we will in the future, but get people really thinking about what this Farmers Union complex is going to look like in Chippewa Falls in the not too distant future.
Yeah, it's kind of a neat project. You know, I'm excited to see how it all you know, how it all comes out as well. But yeah, we should definitely get somebody from Farmers Union to discuss that and share with us what's all happened there.
We'll do that. And I've got all kinds of video that I took from the tour that will eventually get edited together and put on social media. Hans Breitenmoser, as always, appreciate the visit. Stay safe out there and have a great week.
Thank you very much, Pat. You as well.
All right. Chad Holmes coming up next. You're up north.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
The spotlight will focus on Governor Tim Walz and Senator J.D. Vance Tuesday night, October 1st. Listen here as the vice presidential candidates debate issues important to you.
Go to the polls as a parent. You should have more power.
A belief that one person can make a difference.
Wisconsin Decides 2024. Special coverage starts at 7:45 p.m. Then listen to the CBS vice presidential debate live at 8, Tuesday, October 1st, here on your local civic media radio station.
Are you ready to start a meaningful career in healthcare? Are you looking for a job that fits your work-life balance? Become a certified direct care professional today and make life better for older adults or people with a disability. WISC Caregiver Careers makes it easy. With free online training plus earn a $500 bonus. See your name on Wisconsin's Certified Direct Care Registry. Sign up today at WISCCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
We got another busy show again tomorrow with Melissa Kay from WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids joining us. Melissa Baldoff for our climate check segment. Up North News reporter Elizabeth Montemurro. We've got education author Jennifer Berkshire talking about traveling among the battleground states where people are pushing back against the move to privatize public education. That's in our homeroom segment. Todd Alba joins us as well. Such a busy day ahead with just 5 weeks to go as Chad Holmes joins us from 98.9 WXCO, his show coming up next on that fine Wausau station or across the Civic Media app. Or as Tony puts up on YouTube, Mr. Wausum. I think that's supposed to be a good Wausau and awesome. Mr. Wausum.
Oh, that's new. I love it.
Do you
There's a t-shirt we need made, right?
The Todd Father and Mr. Wausum.
Wow. Nothing but the best here for radio nicknames on Up North News Radio. Let's see. So I noticed, Mr. Holmes, your Dropbox has been returned to City Hall. Your mayor is under investigation, but that life has settled down there for a time, I hope, maybe, kind of, sort of.
The thing that kind of I kind of noticed about all of this, a couple of things. Number one, the Dropbox being returned obviously means that after a few days of going around talking to his lawyer friends and talking to others, obviously the mayor was told, you can't do this. you gotta get that. You're gonna dig yourself deeper and deeper and deeper. So the idea that I've made my point, so now we're gonna put it back, I don't believe that for one second. Another thing, and again, being right here in Wausau, seeing the response, I think we talk a lot about a number of groups and individuals that are very upset with it, but the same old cast of characters are giving basic cover for the mayor as well. I mean, the Marathon County Republican Party had, you know, Kevin Hermanning is doing what Kevin Hermanning always does, which is, you know, standing lock, stock, and barrel behind the mayor, and that he encourages the mayor to make sure that, you know, the Dropbox isn't being used. WSU's Chris Conley yesterday says this is all about the liberals going after the mayor. He's done nothing wrong. It's a ginned up issue. I mean, and that reminded me of what we see all the time now. You see Trump or others that basically decide that the rules don't apply to them. But if somebody decides to actually investigate them, it's all because the liberals are out to get them.
Always a conspiracy. Yes.
And it really, yeah. Watching this gets me very frustrated, because there's either a right way to do things or there's a wrong way to do things. I think the mayor is doing things the wrong way in this issue. But it's not because the liberals made him do it. This is not an issue because the liberals are doing anything. This is an issue because 9 days ago, the mayor on a Sunday went over there, put on his hard hat, and hauled away a Dropbox that he had no right to do. That was not a liberal conspiracy. And I get really annoyed with the guy down the road here who opens his mouth up all the time. He's been arrested twice for domestic battery in the last year, and he's some sort of moral leader. It gets me really fired up.
Mr. Wassum has entered the building.
And is not.
I'm so tired of that guy. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Well,
and I got to be careful because their lawyers listen to me.
Well, let them, because again, there's right and there is wrong, yeah. And the law is the law, and you don't get to break it just because. In much the same way as we discussed earlier, for a guy like Donald Trump, you don't get to lie just because it's convenient when you make up stories about Georgia's governor not being able to get in touch with President Biden, when President Biden had already been in touch with the Georgia governor and promised aid. And yet Trump continues to tell the same lie. J.D. Vance continues to tell the same lie about, you know, insulin prices, claiming that it was Trump that got them lowered when it was actually Biden. And, you know, we've known since the first day of the Trump administration with Kelly Conway and that phrase alternative facts, we have known that this is how they operate. And some people want to just bake that into the equation. CBS does not want to fact check tonight's vice presidential debate in real time. Stop normalizing this. It's not, well, he said, but then he said, which is fact challenged. If it's a lie, would you please just say it's a lie already?
And also, this is so spineless by CBS. Spineless. Mm-hmm. Because if you whine long enough, if you whine loud enough, well, then they're going to not fact check. Because this is all because that a couple of times, not as many times as it should have been, but a few times during the presidential debate that was held last month, that Donald Trump was called on his whoppers. Well, you whine and whine and whine and whine, and then all of a sudden CBS says, well, it's not our job. I want to ask, hey, CBS, say Tim Walz decides that he's going to fact check everything that J.D. Vance says tonight. Will he get extra time to actually answer the questions then? Because he'll be spending all of his time fact-checking J.D. Vance, yeah, and not actually talking about what he wants to do.
Well, yeah, if he's going to...
I was gonna, frankly, I feel like Tim Walz is owed the time that Kamala Harris didn't get at the ABC debate,
yeah,
because he talked 7 minutes longer than she did.
And got the last word in on every single question.
It's all about, Mr. Trump, we want to make sure that you're okay with everything here. Because we don't want you complaining that we're being unfair to you. The media just sits on their knees and says, please don't be mean to us, Donald. I mean, it's getting ridiculous. And frankly, again, that's where I started here. I see that at a local level now, as well as a national level, where there's this victimhood that anything that bad happens, if you're investigated, it's because the liberals are out to get you. It is not that. There are consequences.
We've left ourselves 15 seconds for this one. Pete Rose passing away. Lifetime ban. Well, it is no longer his lifetime. Should his hits a record finally be recognized officially? Should he be put into the Baseball Hall of Fame?
Well, number one, he was one of my favorite players. I still Mine remember too. As a yeah. kid, the 44-game hitting streak, and mm-hmm. loving him. I don't know. I am so torn on this. I don't know.
I get it, and I like I said, with his passing, I think now we recognize that, you know, during your lifetime, you will not see this honor because what you did was so egregious.
Exactly.
But what he did on the field is worthy of recognition. And now that should happen.
And by the way, he's not the only horrible human being.
No, it's not about that at all.
In the Hall of Fame.
On a case by case. Thank you, Chad. He's coming up next. Greg's back with Matt and Air on Air, and I'll be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Have a great day. See you tomorrow.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call, plus we'll preview the VP debate with Walls and Vance. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation Area and now Civic Media's new political editor.
Jane, I know you like to talk about our assembly speaker.
Popcorn King, yes, Robin Voss.
So there is a potential outcome with these new maps where Greta Neubauer is the assembly speaker and Robin Voss is the minority leader. How does that sound, Jane?
I feel like my birthday came early.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.